It's spring membership drive time at KDLL, Thursday through Saturday, May 23rd, 24th, and 25th. We've got all original, all local special programming in store, music tickets to give away, and the satisfaction of knowing you're supporting your community by keeping public radio on the air. Mark your calendar for 3 days that show off the best of what public radio has to offer with the KDLL Spring Membership Drive, May 23rd through the 25th.
Listener-supported KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai serves Soldotna, Sterling, Nikiski, and the Central Kenai Peninsula with the best in public radio programs.
Morning. It is 10 a.m. on Wednesday, which means it's time for the Kenai Conversation. You are tuned to KDLL 91.9 FM Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. And on today's KDLL Kenai Conversation, it's, well, KDLL. We are kicking off our spring membership drive week by turning the mics on ourselves. So we thought we'd talk a little bit about membership drive and the special programming we've got coming up for you this week. And we also thought we would take a bit of a walk down memory lane. A lot of folks have been listening to KDLL for years and years and years, over 30 years in your ears, as I believe one of our former station managers used to say. So we thought we'd kind of recap how we got started and how we've gotten to today, and then talk a little bit about where we're going in the future. But I can't do all of that. I am the whippersnapper in the room today. I've only been around for low these many 2-3 years, depending on how you count. So I have recruited some assistants. We have former KDLL board member Marion Nelson. How's it going, Marion?
Good, good. Nice to be here.
Thank you for being here. And if you notice the station ID at the top of the hour, then this guy will sound familiar. We've got former station manager Alan Oxier.
Good morning. And once you've got your voice recorded, it stays in the history file forever.
We never let you go. And then we've got current board member Bill Larned. Hey, Bill.
Hi. Oh, it's awesome. Awesome being here. No place I'd rather be.
Well, good, because it's membership drive week. So we kind of twist your guys' arms to coming in and help us out with that. So for listeners who might not know of you, I can't imagine there's anyone out there who wouldn't. Can you maybe give us a little recap of your involvement with KDLL over the years? Marion, we'll start with you.
Sure, happy to. I started on the board, kind of the second level of board, second tier of board, second board. The first one I wasn't on. There was, you know, the 5, 6, 8, 9 people, whatever there were. And then I came along and integrated with that transition to the next layer, you might say. And that was a time when we were still like 10 watts. Over at the Moose Range, the antenna was over at the Moose Range office. And from there went to, and we had an event called the CeleBoost, where we went to almost 5,000 watts. And I'll share one quick memory from that event. Pete Earhart was on the board, along with other notables like Paul Turner and Jerry Hansen, who has since moved away, and John Lilovic, and Sherida Carpenter, who was in Anchorage on television doing whatever she was doing, weather or whatever it was. She was here at that time. Sammy Crawford was on the board for a while, and others. So during that CeleBoost event, which was at the then Four Seasons, which is now Buckets, a whole different era of that building, Pete, who has some musical background, wrote a song just for me because I had been president or co-president that year and whipping the whip pretty good. And so the name of this lovely piece was Marion the Barbarian. He's quite proud of it, and I am too, never to be heard again. But anyway, on, and the antenna got moved, and it was going to be on the tower, which is more or less near Pickle Hill, but that really wasn't where it was going to go. It had to go where it is now, and that was a long process of state lands, and Lilavic worked on that a lot, getting those lands identified that we could use it. And so you see the tower for Pickle Hill near the intersection of Beaver Loop that's closest to Soldotna and the Spur Highway. And the little shack that's below at the base of that tower was actually where we had the first on-air fun drive. And they had to go out there and kind of turn it off and on and off and on. And my office, because I was actually hired, Alan, I was the development director for a while and did a lot of fundraising, did a lot of promos, a lot of special events as a volunteer as well as being on the board. Some people may remember the pasta bar, which we held at the Senior Center, both the Soldotna Senior Center and the Kenai Senior Center. It was a big deal. I think it was perhaps the first large event, like over 200 people, incorporating the auction event as well as the items. And, you know, that's what you see all over the place now. But at that time, it was new. Excuse my cough drop infused voice here today, but that's just the way it is. Yeah, and various other things. The T-shirts that I produced at that time that had various local great artists, I might add, their artwork on it every year. I wish they could come back because I just loved them. But anyway, it goes back to what my grandson, Nelson Kemp, describes as his first memory with KDLL, and those were the scratch and sniff stickers.
Yes, pickle scented scratch and sniff.
A lot of pickle stuff going on. Yep, a lot of pickle stuff going on. We actually were another call letter. We were KCZP. It was awful to say that fast and get away with it. Well, then actually, former drama teacher at KCHS, Tom Murphy, was a part-time hire for a while to do some research work, and he found this loose signal available. It was actually part of a Coast Guard setup. And, you know, talking with FCC and all the layers that went into that, and he found this KDLL 91.9 ID available. And yay, who doesn't want KDLL if you've got Pickle Hill in the neighborhood? So that's what came before that. So I'll stop with that.
And that was in the 80s, correct? Because I've dug through paperwork, and it looked like the incorporation papers were maybe done up in 82, and then the license was granted in 83. But KDLL was just a repeater station at
right.
the time, right?
Rebroadcasting KSKA.
Out of Anchorage.
And many, many arrangements back and forth with that situation, too. It was not straightforward by any means. I mean, we had things to discuss at the board meeting, and then when it came to boosting the power, that was a really big deal. We had to hire engineers and blah, blah, blah. It was great. That was a great group to work with, still is a great group to work with.
Well, thank you all for everything you did to get us to this point today. So, Alan, when did you enter the picture?
I was actually hired in summer of 2000 and got here, June 1st, 2000. And was a station manager for 15 years, I guess. Can't remember exactly when I officially retired and was able to actually retire.
We keep pulling you back in.
Right. Thinking about the transmitter shack out there, one of the very first things that I noticed when I went out there, the inside is all just bare sheetrock, never been painted or anything like that.
To this day.
And all over the walls are the signatures of all of the folks that came up here from KBBI and were here at KDLL that participated in that first fundraiser. And Mark's, you know, happy to be here, glad to go home, and that kind of thing. It was kind of fun to see all of that. And that transmitter shack is located out in what we always refer to as the swamp behind Morgan Steel. And it's always kind of an adventure getting there, regardless of summertime when it's wet and sloppy, or wintertime when it's all covered with snow and you have to dig out the gate to get in there. But certainly has been an interesting station, and lots of folks participate, a lot of volunteers. We've had pretty good volunteers in the evening doing their own musical shows. They had a great variety of music. I remember I used to say blues, bluegrass, country, gospel, classic, jazz, and anything else we can think of. So,
yeah. And you used to host a classical music show, correct?
Yes. One of the reasons that I was actually hired by KBBI in Homer to be the station manager here at KDLL. At the time, the KDLL board of directors subcontracted with KBBI for a bunch of different services, which included me, which included the downlink from the satellite and the feed up here. Very convoluted system that has gotten a little bit easier, but it's still very convoluted. So I was actually working for KBBI. My paychecks came from there. My boss was stationed down there. But I was the station manager, KDLL, somewhat autonomous, and only when I had big problems did I contact KBBI. So
they learned to dread your phone number coming up on the screen.
I'm sure they did.
So this transmitter shed shack, as we like to refer to it as, out in the swamp, I don't know that people have a good concept of, this is not hyperbole.
No.
Picture a swamp, picture at least shin to knee high standing water in the summer. Yeah. Post-holing, I've gone up to at least my thigh. I'm not real tall, but still, post-holing in the winter. Always bring your snowshoes.
Yep.
One of my first weeks on call at KDLL, I started in February 2 years ago, so dead of winter. We went off the air. Mm-hmm. That's always fun as a new hire. And I realized, oh, yeah, that's my job now. Okay. So it turned out to be just this stupid little transistor thing that blew. It's like a quarter of an inch tall, and it shut us completely down for 2 weeks because we had to get an engineer from Anchorage, and we had to get the part, and it took forever to get it all in there. So I was going out to, this is my first time out to the shack in the dead of winter to try and see what I could figure out to do. And the doorknob was no longer functioning, as it turned out. It had been apparently having some issues for a while, and it was just completely all frozen up, and so I could not get in through the door. But there are plenty of little air exchange vents, because you want to, in the summer, have that shack cooled, because it's a lot of electronic equipment. You don't want it to overheat. So, yeah, my, I think, second week on the job included me undoing a vent and crawling into this transmitter shack to try and figure out how to get us back on the air.
So. Well, I would not have been able to crawl through any of those vents. I would have simply broken the door down. So.
That would have probably been second option, but luckily I made it in there. Anyway, we'll move on to Bill. Bill Larned, how long have you been on the KDLL board?
I was trying to think of what it was. I believe it was 2013, which coincided with my retirement from Fish and Wildlife Service. And my relationship with KDLL and public media in general starts in Alaska when we moved here in 1984, and being an avid listener and supporter of public media. And before that, it went back to the 70s, early 70s, when I was a biologist banding ducks in northern Manitoba, and we were listening to the Thompson, Manitoba public station, listening to E.G. Marshall reciting or reading mystery stories.
Oh, nice.
We were totally hooked on that. There wasn't much except watching the Northern Lights that was entertaining. But other than that, I had my guitar, and we had public radio, but also we joined the public TV and radio in Florida when we lived there before Alaska.
Nice.
So anyway, it's been a lot of fun, and I guess the two reasons that I joined the board, number one was I had a good friend who was on the board before and talked it up to me pretty much. It was Bill Kent.
Oh, yeah.
He said it was a lot of fun and mostly painless. And the people on the board and others involved with it were passionate. It wasn't mercenary. Nobody gets any money on the board and other volunteer positions. So it seemed like a good thing. And before that, I'd had a very unpredictable. I did a lot of travel in my work as a pilot biologist around various places, and so I really couldn't join anything that had regular meetings things because I wouldn't make most of them. So this unleashed me as a volunteer.
Nice.
That change in my life.
And we have kept you busy since.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to add that Bill Kent is another one of those voices that has been recorded and is still in the file.
yeah.
He did a blues program for a long time and recorded several of the station IDs. And I remember one of them is Your Window on the World.
Yep.
And you'll recognize his voice from that. So again, once the voice is recorded, we never get rid of it.
that's not well... Yeah, we've never done away with a voice. There has been one or two station IDs or promos that have gone away. Mm-hmm. I was doing listener surveys and talking to the public, and there were just like two that people, and it wasn't everybody. You know how it is in radio. Some people love something, some people hate things. But
for
there
the
was,
same reason.
There was one spot that some people were just, it was like nails on chalkboard for them. And other people loved it, but it was, they were so, the couple that were so vehemently against it were just so worked up about it. I'm like, okay, we'll phase that one out. All right. So yes, we are responsive to our listeners. We like to hear from you guys. So Marion, back to you. Talk about the transition from being a translator station, just re-airing content from Anchorage and having local content, because that was a pretty big shift for KDLL.
Mm-hmm. Well, it took a long time. It certainly wasn't one smooth path there. There was, you know, the little shack, another shack, different shack, different office. I had an office on one of the Salmatoff buildings on Willow, and then there was the airport office station KDLL thing that had the ability to rebroadcast. And so we had some volunteers at that time on air. And let me throw in one little thing about the shack that's out near Beaver Loop. Jerry Brookman, which is a name familiar to anybody who's been involved with public radio for a long time. And he is a character, and he is devoted to public radio. He loves KDLL for sure. Well, he also has significant engineering background with FAA and so forth. He would go out to that shack and do some volunteer maintenance work for us and carry bags, buckets, whatever they were, of grass clippings to try to make that trail out there slightly better. And I don't know if Jerry knows this, but it was called the Trail of Brookman's Trail of Tears for some time. I don't know that he ever really improved it, but he certainly put his heart into trying to improve it. Let's see. Mike Mishu certainly had a program for a long time from the airport studio. And Arlen, can you help me remember some members? I can't think of who else was on air at that time, but it was ragged. You know, it was a ragged transition, and certainly coming from repeating KSKA to being our own person and dealing with the, I would have to candidly say, mess of dealing with KBBI and us. I mean, there was, you know, some personality situations that needed to be worked out depending on who was the station manager down there, because that varied a whole bunch over a number of years. And all the while, KDLL is trying to move to a more independent life. And it wasn't easy, that's for sure.
That's true. I know there were a lot of conflicts for several years between actually the board and the manager down at KBBI. There were times when I thought it was going to come to a knockdown, drag-out fight, and people were going to go away and leave the board or, you know, resign in protest. And eventually everything got worked out so that we do very much cooperate and help each other for a long, long time. And I think that relationship is still valid. I don't know of any of the internal politics anymore. So
we do still, yep, we have a management agreement with KBBI. Yeah. And I can't even imagine setting that up and trying to function. That must have been so difficult on both ends. I mean, trying to think of how I would try and manage a station that's a hour and a half drive away, and for you guys trying to figure out how to grow and change with that structure, I can see where that would have had some growing pains.
They really had no idea how we functioned as a board, as personalities involved here. I mean, we got along famously. These boards have always been staffed with volunteers with absolutely marvelous people over the years. I don't think that's ever changed.
We have been lucky with some really wonderful board members, for sure.
But they, you know, KBBI is the main station in Homer. We all know that KSRM has most listeners here. It's been the commercial station longer than anything else around here, had the best signal to begin with. We weren't even born yet when KSRM started. So, you know, we are at a disadvantage. Plus, we can get any number of the Anchorage stations. That's not the case in Homer. It wasn't the case. So KBBI had the advantage of being the biggest, loudest voice down there and, of course, embraced by Homer folks. And so it's always had incredibly strong support. I think we have strong support given our situation here and the competition that we face day in and day out. It's just a whole different game. So take it back 20, 30 years and it's different. And so they didn't always respect what, that's not such a nice thing to say maybe, but they didn't always respect the energy and the attitude that we had and what we were trying to do. We were just kind of this goofy little setup in Kenai, and they could, and one station manager, I won't put out a name, but that person thought that they could kind of save us from ourselves in there.
Well, to be fair, we have had a lot of shacks in our history. We probably didn't look like we knew what we were doing.
Well, this had to do with events, and particular my events at that time. So I was more than a little incensed there for a while. But anyway, I'll put it this way. It was very colorful.
That's what happens when you care deeply about something. There's strong feelings, and that can blow up into some hurt feelings and personality clashes. But if you didn't care about it so much, people wouldn't have gotten so worked up about it and built things to the degree that we are now. Mm-hmm. So definitely appreciate the energy, although it sounds like an awful lot of stress for you guys over the years.
But it worked out.
It worked out. Yeah. And, you know, Kenai and Kenai Soldotna and the Central Peninsula are a little bit different than Homer, and we have different perspectives on life, living, work, et cetera, et cetera. So you just have to work those things out and come to mutually agreeable compromises, which I think we did.
Yeah, so the situation now, we are our own entity. Our board, you know, has ultimate authority over our station. They hire and supervise me, and I've hired and supervised our staff members. We have our own volunteers. We contract with KBBI for our programming because we still do not have our own satellite downlink. Right. So they get all of the NPR programming and the APRN Alaska network programming. Mm-hmm. So they do all the downloading. We have our own automation software and programming computer, and that equipment we own, but it lives down in Homer because that's where the downlink is. So our Homer friends monitor that stuff and get our programming kind of all packaged together, and then they ship it up a T1 line that actually HEA owns. So another great partnership in the community for KDLL, letting us use that T1 line is a huge help. And then we have much more control, I think, than we ever have here in KDLL. We have a lot more kind of authority to determine what our program is going to be and when.
True.
And with staff, I mean, anytime we go live, we sort of preempt the programming that's in the background. So right now, if I took us off local control, you would hear the syndicated show that's always airing in the background, which, geez, we don't ever hear it anymore on Wednesdays. I think it's Snap Judgment. If for some reason we had to go off the air, you'd be hearing Snap Judgment right now. But with staff and with volunteers, we're able to kind of supersede that programming and do our own thing up here. And when I got hired, it was with the directive to increase local programming. That was definitely what the board was most interested in. So over the years, you guys, the switch to not just being a repeater station anymore, I would assume that wasn't just so you could pick what syndicated programs you wanted to air, right? It seems like there was an interest and a need for having local Kenai-focused programming. Did that come from the community? Was that the board members that just decided they really wanted that and kind of foisted that on everybody else? Or where did that come from?
Well, we certainly wanted to be as independent as possible. And finances and legal arrangements with FCC, with Homer, you know, dictated a lot of that. But we just were only capable of so much. So we had to walk the narrow path in between all of those complications, all of those legalities, etc. It was slow, you know, definitely slow. So I applaud all the local programming that we have now. I'm just very happy about that for sure.
And I sort of remember that at one time, one of the contracts that we did with KBBI is that the program manager, program director was down there at KBBI in Homer, and they were able to pick and choose what we heard here on KDLL.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the big controversies between our board and KBBI. And eventually we got a new program manager in there who did actually come up to the meetings and listen to the concerns here and figure out that, yes, this is a different community. We want different programs. We may want the same programs, but not necessarily when you want them. So we did finally, again, come to a good compromise with KBBI, and I think pretty much we pick and choose our own programs 24 hours a day.
We do. Yep, we have the authority to choose what and when and where. The really nice thing about this partnership with KBBI is we split the costs of programming and that satellite downlink. So we, between the both of us, we're only paying half what another public radio station would pay for programs. So when we do share a program, and again, it doesn't need to air at the same time, but we get a discount on it. So that's really great for us, especially as we're growing, to have access to like really high quality shows like This American Life and our NPR subscription, all that stuff that we get a discount on. But we have the ability to set our own schedule anymore. We just tell Homer, hey, we want to move this show to this date, or hey, we're starting a new show, we want it to go there, and they push the buttons and make that happen for us. But we, through the community, that comes about through our community advisory board, which I don't know if that, Marion, got started with KDLL or when that came into play, but that, so there's the regular board of directors and then the community advisory board, and that's a whole other group of folks who their sole purpose is to consider KDLL programming and figure out if we are representing the community well, if we're serving the community, if we should be offering different things.
Well,
how long has that been happening?
That's a requirement from FAA.
Okay, so that's
FCC.
Been since
FCC.
The beginning.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes it's barely been in existence, sometimes not in existence, just because, like, what do we need it for anyway? You know, well, we kind of have it, or maybe they met, I don't know, at that time, I don't know what they had to meet. What are they, four times a year now?
Yep, they're quarterly.
My dear grandson is on that board.
Yeah, we've got a great group right now, and I find them super helpful because, I mean, we're out here in North Kenai in the Economic Development District building, and it's kind of insular. I mean, mm-hmm. Between Jay and Shaylin and I might think like, hey, this is a great idea, and we can either talk ourselves into or out of something. And it's really nice to kind of fact check to somebody else like, hey, we were thinking this was a really great idea. And they go like, what were you thinking? Or we kind of reluctantly like, I don't know, we're kind of kicking around, and they think that's the greatest thing ever. So it's really nice to have that set of folks who can offer a different perspective. And then they go out and talk to the community. And at all of our events, they have surveys, and they're always mm-hmm. sort of getting opinions from people. What do you like? What do you not like? What do you wish we were doing? Would you not mind if it went away? What should our priorities be? It's really helpful to have that, so we make sure we're still growing in a way that listeners want to hear.
Right. They can offer things that the board doesn't need to spend time on, frankly. Not that they don't offer opinions. The board has always offered many opinions.
That's what boards are for.
Yeah, about programming and everything else. I wanted to mention also regarding KBBI that we've also developed, amidst some of these conflicts, we've also developed some very close relationships for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Dave Anderson being one.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Gallagher. I'm sorry, I'm so damn weepy that I can't keep tears out of my head. It's terrible. I'm not ready to fall apart. It just sounds like it. Joe Gallagher is another one. He started in Homer and was on air down there for years, and then moved up here, took a job with HEA, and became a wonderful volunteer for KDLL mm-hmm. and helping with HEA underwriting and all the rest of it that went with him. So those were certainly two of the highlight friendships that came out of that, as along with others.
Yeah, and we've got a great working relationship with the folks down there now. Our news departments are coordinating, like, hey, I'm covering this, I'm covering this, especially in, like, the Ninilchik zone. Like, whose territory is that anymore? Yeah. Like, what do you got going on? Can you get up there and cover that? Mm-hmm. If there's something major, like a wildfire or something like that, we can both share resources and cover things a lot more effectively, and we can have sort of a more peninsula-based newscast. If there's big news out of Homer, we can use it. If there's big news out of Kenai, they can use it. Mm-hmm. So
it's great. It's been nice. Really enhances everybody.
Yeah.